week, it's just like, oh, I feel like God's presence is with me. I know that, but it's like felt like it's turned down on the radio. It's like you can sense he's there, and then I come into here, and it's just turned up. And coming to church and getting in his presence, it's like total melting me of saying yes to God 100%. I want to say yes to God 100% all the time. And really, these are things you can't like work up, you know, in your life. But the anointing of God, when it comes in contact with you, because you're seeking him, he says, when you seek him, you'll find him. That's why he wants us to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Hey, you have any kids? You let them go away from the table hungry? Dad, I'm hungry. Well, just go on. No, you say, hey, here's another plate of mashed potatoes or whatever. You know, or, man, I could really use something to drink, Mom. Ah, why don't you just, you're done. You've had enough. No, you know, when they hunger and thirst, you fill them. Well, God the Father is a good Father, and he's going to fill you up. You know, if you're asking for it, he's going to fill you up. And it's interesting what Pastor Shelley's saying about, you know, when you get ready, you get to the end of the day, you go to bed, you start the whole process over again. You know, when I come out of this place, you know, I'm so in contact with God's anointing, I feel like, wow, I could stay up all night and pray. But as soon as I leave, it's like, I want to go to bed because I'm like tired. And that's what we need in our life is God's anointing and God's presence, you know, to do things, because he says in Hebrews chapter 12, he says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us believers lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us. You know, it's interesting he uses the word patience, because he knows, you know, there's going to be things in our life that are going to try and trip us up. You know, I think I commented to somebody, it's like sometimes your day gets so clogged up with just junk and foolishness, and just things don't always go exactly the way you think they should go. And God wants us to run the race. You know, how do we do that? Do we do that in our own strength? Do we do that, you know, struggling? Do we do that in our own flesh? You know, just like somebody that's supposed to be running a 10-mile marathon, you're running and you get tired and tired and tired. You know, these are the areas that, you know, we want to imitate the Lord in. You know, Ephesians 5:1 says, be imitators of Christ. Do you think the Lord got weary in doing the work that his Father called him to do? Or do you think he drew on the power of the Lord. He drew on the power of the Holy Spirit that was directing him and leading him and strengthening him. Isaiah 40 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. You know, that's the secret. The secret is to get the power and strength of the Lord, because without him, we're not mounting up on any wings. You know, we're not flying through the air without him. We're stuck on the ground. But the key is, if we wait on the Lord, if we do some God time, you know, if we get in his presence, just like tonight, you got into God's presence, you know, he did something in your heart and your life, you know, and you move forward. You know, these are things you can experience every day. You know, the power and presence might not be evident in your Bible study or your worship. You know, might not be exactly like being in a service filled with 100 people just yearning for God, and God just pours out, but his presence will be there in a very, very gentle and a noticeable way. And sometimes he does turn it up. Sometimes I'm like listening to a song and I'm thinking, wow, the Lord is coming back. He imprints things in my heart and my life, and you know, I just know some things like God, you're coming soon, you know, and you're watching over me, you love me. You know, you're talking about the Father, you know, getting to know the Father. And sometimes just in worship, like tonight I was saying, Father, I love you. And it's just like I didn't hear like an audible voice, but I sensed him saying, I love you. And it's like the Father, the God of the whole universe, speaking to us. You know, that this is the relationship we have in Christ. This is the mystery. You know, a person in the world is not going to see this. They're not going to notice it. They're operating in the five physical senses. And we are too, to a large extent. But God wants us to start operating in faith and trust in him. And oftentimes these are things that we don't see with our natural senses. But we know in the Word of God, when he says, I'm with you and I'll never forsake you, those are things you take by faith. And you grow in the knowledge of these things. And where you are today, you know, as you walk with him, you're going to grow a little bit more. You're going to get a little bit more grace. You're going to understand a little bit more. Some of those things that, you know, you've been struggling with over and over and over again, you're going to get it. God's going to help you. God's going to help you get it. So you can walk in victory. You know, there's three things he's concerned about. You know, one is getting you born again. He wants all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. He wants you in the family of God. He wants you to be his child, his daughter, his son. He wants that. You know, the second thing he wants is he wants us to walk in victory in all areas of our life. You know, he doesn't want us lacking in any good thing or lacking in any area. He wants us to fulfill the call of God on our life, whatever that may be. Hallelujah. You know, if he wants you, if you're thinking, how am I going to do this? How am I even going to walk as a believer? How am I going to get victory over these things? The fact that he's living inside of you and he's teaching you and training you means that you're going to get it. You're going to get the victory. You have the victory right now. So these are things and processes, you know, you need to kind of step back and say, okay, I'm being transformed by the renewing of my mind. You know, I'm changing the way I look at things. You know, the world has been busy programming us before we came to Christ. So after you come to Christ, you know, he gives us a new spirit inside. He causes us to be born again. He causes that new life to be in us. And we're righteous and holy before God. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This is not me saying it or some church doctrine, you know, that somebody made up. This is right from the Word of God. You know, he's changed us. Okay. So, but then that process of renewing your mind takes time. You know, just, you know, he wants us, these are things we've got to run with patience, the race that's set before us. As we get to know him and how to trust him, he will strengthen us. He will renew our life inside of us. He will do these things to give us the victory. So it all takes time. Okay, and then the third thing he's very concerned about is showing men the plan of salvation, bringing more people into God's family. And this is what he's going to do. This is the work he's working in our own life. He's caused us to drink from the well. He's caused us to have the living water in our life. Now he wants us to go and share that living water with other people. You know, it's obvious. Pastor Gary and Shelley, they've been feeding the flock for years and years, the people outside of this church, in this community, they don't know. You know, some of them don't know the truth. They don't know that the living water is being given in this body. They don't know, and they may not even have a clue of what living water really is. But this is where we come in. This is where we come in and interact with the people in our lives and to share with them and say, hey, there's a better way. His name is Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. So this, you know, the church does get people born again. People do kind of wander in here and they do get born again. You know, that's God's plan. But the real activity goes with us, you know, when we go and talk to people around us. You know, how many of us got born again by somebody taking some time with us and sharing and was an actual person that came in contact, that touched, that interacted with us, and we could see the life of God in them, and that was a draw, and the Holy Spirit used that. Well, how do you do that? Well, God's given you gifts. God's given you things in your life. You don't have to be a great Bible teacher or a great preacher or a great orator to share the things that you know. Every one of you have a testimony that you can give and share. This is how Jesus made a difference in my life. This is how the Lord has caused me to have the victory. You know, and the Holy Spirit, remember, the Holy Spirit wants those people to be born again more than you do. So he is going to be a helper to help you do that. You know, sometimes when I was working at the rescue mission, I worked there for 14 years, and people would come in and they would tell me their whole list of problems. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what am I going to say? And the neat thing about it is the Holy Spirit cared for those people more than I did. You know, I cared for them, obviously, but God went to great depths to send Jesus Christ to us. So he had a plan for those people. And I learned over time, you just be patient. The Lord will show you what to say. The Lord will show you. Actually, he'll show you when to talk, too. You know, sometimes the guys just went on and on and on and on and on and on, and they just wouldn't shut their mouth. And sometimes you got to say, that's enough. You need to listen. You know, so the Holy Spirit will even tell you to do that. But I'm trying to relate to you that this is not a hard process. You know, it's hard at first because you're not familiar with it. You know, when Pastor Gary said to me or said to the congregation, you know, every time I get into God's Word, I expect something new. I'm sure the first time he said that, you know, he might have gotten something. But as he grew in faith in an area, I'm sure he's opening up the Word of God now, like, okay, God, I'm getting something today. You know, and it just flows a lot easier. As you know, same with like the worship team. You know, when they started, you know, God's presence showed up, God's presence worked with them, but as they worked together and learned how to flow in their gifting, you know, it became easier and easier. You just start saying, okay, Holy Spirit, I'm going to step aside, so to speak, and I'm going to let you work through me. You know, and that's what we're all learning to do. We're all learning to better understand and to follow the Holy Spirit better. You know, so let's turn to John chapter 4. So we're going to talk a little bit about the harvest tonight. Isn't that something? We go to church in a church called Harvest Point. That must mean something. It means we're going to do some harvesting. So John chapter 4. John was a very close disciple to Jesus. And he wrote this book later in life. He was probably, some people think he was like in his 80s or 90s. So it's an interesting thing that he gave a testimony that he saw Jesus crucified. You know, not all the disciples were mentioned that they were at the cross. And that's not saying they weren't or they were not. You know, but it mentions John was at the cross. So he saw Jesus die. He saw that centurion put that spear in his side. He saw blood and water come out. They took him down. He was dead. He saw that. Okay. He also saw the living Christ. He also saw, you know, the nail print in his hands. He saw those things, you know, and he said, Jesus is alive. And he kept that testimony throughout his whole life. So he wrote this. So this is kind of a special book with a very special, it's written in a very special way. So John chapter 4, it says, it's starting verse 3. It says, he, talking about Jesus, left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Now for the Jews, Samaria wasn't a very nice place. They looked at, you know, they looked at themselves as God's chosen people. You know, in a lot of ways, it was like World War II. Germany thought that they were like the chosen race. They were the pinnacle of all the men on the earth. Well, the Jews saw themselves as God's chosen people, and they basically looked at everybody else in an inferior way. Now, some of them probably didn't, but a lot of them looked at the Gentiles as being outside the covenants of God. And they were. You know, God worked through the Jews. God brought salvation through Jesus, through the line of the Jewish nation. That's all true. Okay, but at this time, the Samaritans were considered mixed part Jew, part Gentiles. And so the Jewish people just didn't want to associate with them. And it says, he said he must needs go through Samaria. Then he comes to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Okay, so Jesus, being led by the Holy Spirit, felt like he needed to go this direction. You know, now I guess this is a matter of opinion. You know, some people might think, well, Jesus knew the whole story unfolded all out before him. But that's not necessarily the case, because the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us in much the same way. He's living inside of us. He's the one that directs us. He's the one that leads us. So, I mean, it's possible Jesus knew what was all going to happen, but the Holy Spirit, how should I say this? Jesus was trying to model how to walk with the Lord. He was trying to model how to walk with God. And so the Holy Spirit was interacting with him. So he felt like he needed to go this direction. And oftentimes we feel like we need to go a certain direction. Pastor Gary says, I need to go and get donuts this morning. So he's learned to yield to that leading. I felt led to do that this morning. Got two donuts. So, but, you know, Jesus felt like he had to go this direction. And sometimes we feel like, you know, we need to go in a certain area, but we don't know exactly why. And Jesus was there. He was sitting at the well. And there comes a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Do you know, the thing that I'm finding more and more is I'm trying not to judge people. You know, when I see somebody come in, maybe they're not dressed that great, or maybe there's something physically with them, or just maybe just something odd. You know, I'm trying to get away from in my thoughts saying this person doesn't have any value in any way. And Jesus was like that. You know, he knew that people had value. And so it didn't matter to him that the Holy Spirit was leading him to go through an area that the majority of the Jewish people just rejected. And that's the heart of God. That's the heart that's in us, that we can go and touch the people that are rejected in our society. So he says, then says the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dwelling with the Samaritans. Okay, so the door opens. Okay, he's there, he asks for the water, and the door opens. You know, and so now he starts to share. I wonder what would happen if the woman just gave him the water right away. Okay, here's the water. But oftentimes we come in contact with people that need help. Okay, with the men at the rescue mission, oftentimes I didn't know what to say, but the Holy Spirit gave me the right words to say. He gave me the right scriptures to say. And by the time I was done, it was just like I was walking out of there and they were walking out and said, wow, you told me exactly what I needed to hear. No, actually I said, God helped us here in this situation. So the door is opening here for Jesus. And so the Holy Spirit's going to lead him just like he would lead us in a conversation, in an encounter with somebody. And he says, Jesus answered and said unto her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me to drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said unto him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then have you this living water? Okay, once again, with man, things are impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And he's trying to show this woman that in God, you can have that living water that'll be with you. That'll be with you for all of eternity. And he's trying to reveal himself to this woman, which is kind of cool. It's like the person in all of history that could witness to you is actually Jesus. Jesus is witnessing to this woman. And we can learn a lot from this because, you know, this is the true heart of God unveiled. There's nothing hidden here. And he's showing that if we have the heart of the Master, the people that we talk to, we can bring this life, we can bring this living water to him or to them. And so this is the good news. This is the good news for us. This shouldn't be a struggle for any one of us. You know, and if it is, this is what I found in my life. When I struggle with witnessing and talking to people about Christ, what I found is oftentimes I'm not in the Word as much as I should be. And that's just me personally. How do you know when you're filled up with the Word of God? Well, how do you know when that gas is filled up if you don't have a gauge in your car? You just stick that in there. Actually, we all do it. We stick that nozzle into the gas tank and we just click it on and just let it fill up. And sometimes it just spurts out a little bit at the end. Sometimes it backfires a little bit. You know it's full because it's starting to come out. So these are the things I'd encourage you. Just every day, just ask the Lord, not to get under any bondage like, oh, I got to read 10 chapters today, or I got to listen to 5 hours of CDs or whatever, but listen to the Lord and do what he's telling you to do. You know, it might be just reading a couple chapters in the morning. That's what I do. You know that's my comfort point. That's my fill-up point. But I often don't stop there. You know, I got a 40-minute drive to work. So I plug in some CD and I just start listening to some minister because I want to be around the things of God. I want to get absorbed with God's presence, with God's wisdom, with God's understanding. You know, I'm hungering and thirsting for him, you know, and I want more of him. I don't want to be in darkness. I don't want to see 4100. I want to see 2020. I want to see even better than that, if that's possible in spiritual things. So I'm in that Holy Spirit school. You know, I'm asking him to give me wisdom and understanding so I can have that for today and also for my life. Because he shows me things that I need to do this day, but he also shows me plans for my life because I've got questions that doesn't seem like I have answers for. You know, but I know if I push in, he starts giving me enough that I need so I can get to the next day. I don't always get like the whole deal laid out before me, because where's the faith in that? You know, God wants you to trust him on a daily basis. So it's not about getting the whole deal right this second, right now. It's learning how to trust him, you know, and walk with him. So let's go back to this woman here. Verse 12, are you greater? Now this is like a good opportunity for an argument. Are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? See, lots of times people will try to derail you with questions that don't mean a hill of beans. You know, and you've got to, you know, when you're listening to the Lord, when you're listening to the Holy Spirit, he'll show you what you need to say. You know, some of the oddest things, like I'll be talking to somebody and they'll say something and that's not even part of the conversation. The part of the conversation they need to hear is how to get born again. It's not about arguing, you know, who gave this well to you guys. So Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drink of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So that's the whole gospel message right there. Basically saying, hey, I'm that water, and I'm offering it to you. You know, if you want to drink, you can drink. You know, realize that not everybody is going to want the Lord. Not everybody's going to want God in their life. You know, they can see the truth, they can know the truth, but there's just some people that are going to reject the truth. And that's a sad thing. But that's not your concern. You know, because God loves them, your concern is just to do the things he's telling you to do. Maybe it's to witness to them. You know, maybe it's to be that person that can touch them. And I've thought about this for a little bit. Pastor Gary, he encourages us to follow through with the Holy Spirit because it's important that we be a witness to people. You know, there's like no plan B. Okay. But realize that if we don't witness to somebody, you know, God's not putting their whole salvation in our hands. Like if we don't witness to them and get them born again, then that's it. But realize this, that God is moving on your heart right at that moment to touch them. The opportunity is there. A great opportunity is there. And that's their opportunity to see Jesus in the way that they need to see God at that moment. So, sure, you can say, well, they have that. They can see the world. They can see God created it. But if we had died and went to hell and somebody didn't tell us the gospel, we would still be without excuse because God's goodness is there. You know, God made the world. God made all these things, and he witnessed to us in different aspects. But how many of us are so grateful that somebody actually came and touched our lives and we're the person that prayed with us? So we are very important and very instrumental in bringing people to Christ. Because there's also that thinking too that, well, God knows who's going to be saved. What does it matter if I witness to somebody? You know, well, then why does the Bible say that we're co-laborers with Christ? You know, we're, it says in 2 Corinthians 5, I don't know the words exactly, so I want to read it here. It says, and all things are of God, verse 18, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Okay, that ministry of reconciliation isn't to reconcile ourselves. It's to reconcile others as we're led by the Holy Spirit, as we're led by the Lord. So it's so important and paramount that we do listen to the Lord and follow him. Okay, so back to the woman at the well. So the woman says, verse 15, the woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come to the well to draw again. Jesus said unto her, Go call your husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, You have well said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not your husband. In that what you say is true. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive you are a prophet. So the Lord will give you things, and just the fact that you're witnessing and saying certain things to them, you may not know the whole background of why a person needs to hear something, but God does. And so, you know, how do you know what you're saying is right and from the Lord? Well, I think part of it is you judge what you say by love. Are you reaching out to somebody? Are you saying things that would cause people, that would draw people to Christ, just like things were said to you and drew you to Christ? You know, you can take the gospel. You can take that Thanksgiving dinner that we're going to probably prepare. You know, some of us are going to cook, some of us are going to eat. But the people that prepare, you could take all the meat, the cranberries, the mashed potatoes, you know, the string beans, and put it all on a plate and make that presentation really nice and say, here's that plate of food for you, and you go, wow, thank you, that really looks good, and you eat it and you enjoy it. Or you could take the same plate and dump it in the blender and squirrel it all up and have one big pile, massive pile of food, put it on a plate and say, here, you know, and the person can say, I don't want to eat that. Well, why not? It's Thanksgiving dinner. It's all there. You see the red there? That's cranberry. You know, so it is about our presentation. It is about mainly walking in love, you know, sensing when people are okay, they've had enough. You know, some babies, they only can take a drop of milk at a time. If you give them more than that, they just start spitting up. You know, realize that's where some folks are at. You know, they just need that little drop. It might be a little drop every day, but they're getting it, you know. And one other thing I'd encourage everybody is pray. You know, if you have a heart to see people won for Christ, then start praying for the people that are surrounding you. You know, because then the Holy Spirit will use that to pave the way. That's part of that ministry of reconciliation. You're standing in the gap. You're saying, Father, I thank you for blessing them today. Father, I just thank you for opening up their ears and opening up their hearts to receive from you. And I just thank you, Father, for the right words to say. I thank you, Lord, that they have the victory in Christ. And you start treating them. You start treating them. Sometimes I treat people like they're already believers. You know, hey, brother, how you doing today? Sometimes they look at me a little funny. Or, you know, it's not so much the words sometimes, it's the attitude. and people can sense when you love them and want to do them good. So this woman sensed that from Jesus at the well. You know, she wanted what Jesus had, even though he didn't have anything to draw with. He couldn't pull any water out, but she sensed, hey, this is the prophet. You know, she says, sir, I perceive you're a prophet. Okay. What else does she say? She says, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Okay, sidetrack again. Good chance for an argument. You know, and Jesus says to her, woman, believe me that the hour comes when you shall neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour comes and now is when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him. And then he says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said unto him, I know that when Messiah comes, which is called the Christ, when he comes, he will tell us all things. Okay, so she senses something. This is the question. You know, Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto you am he. So I'm he. I'm it. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman, yet no man said, what seek you, or why talk to her. The woman then left her water pot and went away into the city and said to the men, come and see, which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, while his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not. Therefore said the disciples one to another, has any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Don't you say that there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, and they are white, are ready to harvest. Okay. So that hasn't changed today. We can look up and we can see the harvest out there. And you know, we can run out there. Like when I was a new believer, I would just go witnessing door to door, and I would just hit everybody. I just sow that seed, and I would just say, they got it. But this is what I would encourage you to do, you know, is to listen to the Lord. Focus on, okay, I'm going to get filled up with God, and I'm going to let God show me who to talk to. I'm going to let God show me who to minister to, who to love. And he will do that. You know, it doesn't have to be any pressure like, oh, I got to do this today, or I got to do that. It shouldn't be anything like that. It should start just by loving people and caring for them, talking to them, spending time. Sometimes just spending time with them is an act of love, because you're saying you have value. And so that's part of what I would encourage everybody to do. You know, the harvest is out there. We're in the end times. This is the greatest time to be alive. And the Lord's put us right at that place. Isn't that exciting? I mean, we're talking about Jesus returning. We're talking about the end times. We're talking about the Holy Spirit, God's power and God's anointing. Don't you think, you know, when you do the fireworks, don't they save like the best one for last? You know, we're in a time, we're his people. He's saving the best ones for last, so to speak, because we could have been born at any time. We didn't have control of that, but the Lord wants us to be born at this time, because I believe every one of us in here will seek and pursue and want to fulfill God's call 100%. not 10%, not 20%, not 30%, but 100%. So how many of you are with me tonight? Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for every one of my brothers and sisters. Just cause growth in our life, Lord. You know, we desire, we yield, and we yearn for your spiritual gifts, your spiritual understanding, your wisdom. But we also want to grow out of the immature things in our life. And you can show us how to do that step by step. Father, we're not under any condemnation. We just trust that you've forgiven us, you've cleansed us, you've made us whole. But Father, we also know that you're causing us to be further along than when we were the day before. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for the great victory. We thank you for Christ living inside of us. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And these are things that we put great value on. And we just ask that as time would go on, we would just increase in learning in all these areas. Father, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you tonight. Thanks for coming.